Hey folks, I'm Tom.
And I'm Vince.
Welcome to Friday Night Beer, a show where two guys who know too much about pop culture and not enough about beer try some beers and explain them in a way that you may understand.
But that you probably won't, and it'll only make sense to us. Either way, we hope you'll be entertained.
I smell birthday cake, Vince.
Happy birthday to us. Happy birthday to us.
Happy birthday to us.
Happy birthday to us.
Sorry, I had to go high at the end.
Yeah, we really blew that.
It's our birthday. It's the third anniversary of our show.
Our triple birthday.
Woo!
Our trip birthday.
Someone dropped the hammer on us now.
Bang! Let's get hammered.
Yeah, let's do it. We're doing Trip Hammer from good old Alarmist. And Vince, I will be honest, I did not know we haven't done this in a long time.
It's been since like season one, hasn't it?
Yeah, so
season two, if you want to count the collab.
We actually featured it three times in our first 18 episodes. We went on a huge tear.
They were good to us, we were good to them, but we grew apart.
Right, and then we did a collab with them and Noon Whistle called It's Noon, Where's Gary, which we
love. Dude, I was so excited for that.
Yeah,
we loved it. I was like counting down the days. That was pandemic era.
Yeah, we loved that one. But it's been too long, and we felt that since it is our birthday, it's time to go back.
It's our three-year reunion. We're at the bar. We've had a few wine spritzers. And we look across, and we see who else but that high school flame, that early first love, our good friends Alarmist. They treated us well, we treated them well, but we just had different ideas of what we wanted.
We didn't know what we were doing.
And now, we're a little older, we're a little wiser. They're a little older, they're a little smarter. And we're ready to have one consensual night of fun that means nothing.
Wow, Vince, that was something right there.
Thank you. I did not write it down, believe it or not. Believe it or not.
All improvised. That's crazy. This is actually the first Vienna-style lager that we're doing. It's 5.5%, as they say it at Alarmist Brewing. It's brewed with Vienna, Munich, biscuit, and rye malts, and the malt bill creates flavors of caramel and freshly toasted rye bread with a light sweetness.
I'm nervous about the breadiness. They've never steered me wrong, but I'm a little nervous about that. I don't think I've ever had a Vienna lager, at least not on purpose.
This is the first time we're doing it on this show.
I say we grab our hammer and let's go.
Let's go. Happy birthday to us, Vince.
Happy birthday.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Okay, let me give it a sniff. I didn't do that in the last episode.
Jeez, you can really smell the bread, the malts, the barley.
Oh, yeah. This is pretty sweet.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
When I said it's sweet, I meant that it tasted sweet.
I thought you meant, oh, sweet. This is great.
This reminds me, it actually tastes very similar to the one we just did, Sham Hop.
Yeah, a little bit. But it's not, like, it's a little strong. I don't know, man. Yeah. It's like I'm licking pennies.
I want to level set something before we go any further. We've had some of the best beers on this show from Alarmist. Les Jus, which sort of unofficially inspired the show, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's true.
Total Carnage.
That was great.
Total Carnage was awesome. Au Jus, I wasn't as keen on that one.
That wasn't really our style.
And then It's Noon, Where's Gary was one of the highest scores we ever gave out.
Yeah, It's Noon, Where's Gary was like peak. If Alarmist beers were crypto, That was the peak. That was the all-time high. It's Noon, Where's Gary?
Yeah, so like I think just like my general thought is like if this was like the Toy Story franchise, this is maybe Toy Story 4 where it's like, yeah, it's solid, but it's going to be very hard to live up to what happened before.
And don't get me wrong, I'm still going to drink it. Like it's not undrinkable. It's just not what I want. I can't help but be influenced by the hammer and think about the, what is it, the hammer and like moon, crescent moon? Is that that's the flag for
That's the communist Turkey. Russia.
No. Which one?
Wait, hammer and sickle?
Yeah, hammer and sickle. That's what it is. Yeah. So that is communist Russia.
It is.
That is.
And I would think it'd be a little more imposing.
This beer is what I feel like playing checkers with Putin's like. You're like, ugh, that was not fun.
I haven't played checkers with Putin, but
neither have I. But I imagine like he takes a very fun, innocent game, maybe even Connect Four, like Connect Four with like a stupid game with Putin, and it's just like he sucks the fun out of it, and you're terrified to win because he might behead you.
Well, you found out a fun fact about Alarmist that I wasn't aware of.
Yeah, so it's been pretty well documented, our love for them, their love for us, and now we're back together after 3 years. What a long what a long trip apart, but they studied abroad, and now they're back.
Now we're going to have a disappointing hookup with
them. Despite the fact that we're far more experienced than we ever were. They used to be Panic Brewing. So that's how they were initially set up. And from head brewer himself, Gary, it's noon, where's Gary?
Right.
We were Panic Brewing. That was my first name. And actually, if I was smarter, I could have had the trademark, but I didn't know a lot of that shit. Another brewery in Sacramento came out with Panic IPA, and they trademarked it. By the time I went for a trademark, they already had it, so I had to switch it. And I didn't really give a shit anymore. The name of the whole idea is about being afraid. And this is where he started to lose me a little bit, but I think it comes back. You're afraid of everything and you get paralyzed to do anything. It's sort of this idea that you don't need to be alarmed about everything and you can actually do what you want to do and not worry about it. It's anyone who wants to do what they want to do in life, and it can be anything. If you want to go into porn, that's fine. Go into porn. You can do it. I think the biggest problem with people doing what they want to do in their lives is that first step, you're afraid and you can't get there. And when I read that for the first time, I thought he was about to say, I think the biggest problem with people doing porn.
And describe you thought he was that. Going the porn route. Yeah.
I thought this was just going to turn into a porn fest.
Wow.
It feels like it should be the whole name and whole idea is about being afraid and you shouldn't be afraid. But then he just goes into how... Yeah, everyone's afraid. And he ties it back. He gets there. But I was like, wait a minute. This is about being afraid? I'm not afraid.
We're just making beers here. One thing I want to point out about just Vienna lagers in general, since we have not done it, they're kind of in the same vein as the red ales that we talked about on the last episode.
The ambers.
They're characterized by being kind of malty and sweet and having a brownish hue. It's not bitter. I mean, I will say, like, whether you like the taste or not, it's pretty light. Here's the other thing. The Marzen, which we've talked about on this show, that's still pretty popular. But there was a time when the Vienna lager was, like, the thing to drink in Europe.
Well, the Marzen's Oktoberfest, right?
That's right. And this was basically, like, what came before that. And Marzen sort of, like, stamped it out. However, out of absolute nowhere, Vienna lagers are now really big in Mexico.
What? Because, what an upset.
Yeah, because I'm not totally sure why. They say it may be the result of an odd period from in 1864 to 1867 when, get ready for this name, Archduke Ferdinand Maximilian Joseph of Austria went to Mexico and became the Emperor of Mexico.
Just, I'm sorry, became or just said, I'm the emperor now.
I'm the emperor. I'm here.
I'm the emperor now.
He pulled the Captain
Phillips. Hi, how are you? I'm the emperor. I'd like to tell you how I'm such an emperor.
So, you know, there was a time when this was more popular than it was, but now it's not so much.
This is interesting because one of my favorite popular culture memes that I see all the time is somebody reminiscing and saying, like, they're taking the experience of being in the car with your friends and just like hearing a cold beat that comes on. And they say, like, imagine it's you and the boys in the concert hall and Beethoven just drops his fifth symphony like that. I'd like to add that the Vienna lagers are flowing and Beethoven just drops this on you. Like, that's this what I imagine is people losing their minds.
That was the
with
levels
this.
Of 1860.
Oh my God.
Instead of doing a vodka soda at a club and Avicii comes on.
Yeah, we don't do RBVs here. We do VNLs.
Yeah, Vince, I guess, like, it's our show, right? We can do whatever we want. What were your thoughts about us doing this show when we were just really getting started?
Well, so I remember it's very interesting that we start and we're big on alarmists. And I'll go back to that big quote where he said, the name and the whole idea is about being afraid. And a lot of people, the problem is you're so afraid you don't try. I had the general idea, but I definitely like had never done a podcast before. I just like didn't really know where to start. It was one of those things where if you had been like, that sounds like a fun idea, you should do it by yourself, this doesn't happen. Me throwing it out there and saying, I think this would be a fun idea, and then you yes-anding and reciprocating and saying that I agree and I would be interested in that, even though you weren't into beer at the time, was monumental. We were this close. As my dad always says to me, you were this close to not existing.
That's a nice thing to be reminded of. I was very intrigued by the idea of doing something creatively together. And I remember, like, the first time we met up during COVID was at your old apartment on Belmont.
Oh, yeah.
And we just got, like, really hammered one night. And it had been a while, and we were basically catching up on, like, you know, 5 months worth of COVID stuff. And then we talked about it, like, yeah, like, this would be, like, something we could do. And then because we basically had nothing else to do, I was like, yeah, why not? Let's, like, look into it. I actually had a podcast before this started, the Tom Doherty Show.
And I demanded to be on it, famously.
Yeah. And it was a SoundCloud-only original. I literally didn't know what I was doing at all. So, like, I think that it was, for both of us, like, we went into it with sort of, like, an open mind. And I've listened to some of those earlier episodes. And, like, considering where we are at now, I'm like, wow, we really were just fucking winging it.
Yeah, absolutely. No notes, no set. Like, we really found it as it went. And I think we are in a cool place now, and we're continuing to innovate.
Yeah.
And I do think there's a lot of parallels. There's a reason that we're drawn to alarmists. There's a lot of parallels here. And one thing I do want to say about the head brewer, and what's his last name? It's Gary, and I cannot remember his last name, but it's a G. I'm going to call him Gary G.
Yeah,
because I feel like he'd appreciate it. But what he says is, like, he was never good at taking orders from other people, and he actually, like, got let go from his job at Orbitz right after they found out that his wife was sick with cancer. And so she's fine now, which is what I've heard. That may be an outdated article. What I read is she's fine now, so that's great. But he said, like, he was rightfully furious about that, and he said, as soon as you're in the clear and we're better, I'm going to set this up so that I don't have to worry about that ever again. And he said now, like, now I'm poor but happy. And I doubt you're that. Like, this is pretty successful. Hopefully it's paying some bills.
Yeah. One thing I will say, too, is, like, if you're, like, on the fence about doing something, whether it's, like, a creative endeavor or doing something that is, like, outside of, like, your norms, I think about something that our improv teacher, Todd Edwards, said at the beginning of our class, which is nobody's going to give you permission to have a career. And I would say nobody's going to give you permission to do something. You just have to fucking do it. And there is no greater teacher than just experience. And, like, I think that that was the attitude we started with this show all those years ago.
And I'll tell you what. I took your advice to heart and Todd Edwards, and I didn't ask for permission to take it in the glass. I just did it.
We're just doing it.
Yeah. We're just doing it. And I did a really awful pour.
I'm glad we can kind of see some of these pours now. That was something that was.
We don't need to see the pours, but it's good to see the beer. Take a look at it.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, listen, like I said, this is just not what I'm necessarily looking for. I understand why the Vienna Lager is, like, it went out of style. It doesn't have any of the hallmarks of like, what we're used to. Drinking this, to me, is like watching Citizen Kane. It's like a classic that was regarded as the movie to see. Like, this was the beer to drink. but I'm not into it. I was like, okay, I get it. It did a lot of the stuff that I'm used to now for the first mm-hmm. time, but I unfortunately don't have a ton of respect for that just as a person. I'm very disrespectful towards, this was so amazing because it was the first time. Like, the first person to send an email, they're like, oh yeah, that was so amazing. I'm like, whatever, dude, I've done that a million times.
That's kind of how I feel when I go to the Chicago Art Institute. Like, I just walk around and I'm like surrounded by people who are very knowledgeable about old art, and they're like, oh my God, this Jackson Pollock is incredible. And like, they can read it in a very deep way. And I just look at it and go, whatever you say, man, that sounds good to me.
The most offended,
I don't fucking get it.
The most offended I've ever been by art, I can't remember if this is in Pittsburgh or Chicago, but there was just a gigantic frame on the wall. That was it. I've never been more upset, angry, offended. I was like, this is, I don't think I paid to get in, thankfully. Yeah. But like, I was like, this is what I paid for? This is what it takes to be renowned? Just put a frame on the wall? I hated it. I hated it. And like, two people stopped. One of them was the Green Ranger, Tommy.
Tommy.
With his long
Eventually
hair.
Eventually he became the White Ranger.
Yeah. And then didn't he have glasses too at some point?
He actually just passed away recently, but I don't remember him wearing
glasses. So he doesn't have glasses anymore.
Not anymore.
I don't know. He had long hair and a ponytail and glasses, and he was like, wow, that's sublime. And I was like, it's a fucking frame.
I'm with you on that. Here's another thing that we were trying to figure out. What is a trip hammer? Is that a thing? Is that something that people talk about?
I don't know. I'd love to hear, like, what do you think a trip hammer is?
Well, I don't think of it in a literal sense as, like, I'm going to bring a hammer on vacation.
That's not the literal sense I was thinking of it.
Well, first of all, I played football, and, you know, often we would hear from our coaches, like, do you want to be the hammer? Do you want to be the nail, right? And it was, like, supposed to, like, fire you up to hit somebody violently. So that's kind of a thing that has been in my brain for, you know, most of my life. I think of, like, metaphorically trip hammers as, like, someone who, when they're invited to a group trip, you're like, oh, boy, this guy's coming. You better fucking watch out for this guy. And unfortunately, that's me a lot.
In a negative fashion? Or?
No. It's like, it could be good, but it's just like someone who's just going to absolutely like bulldoze a situation occasionally.
Yeah, I think of a trip hammer as like a lightweight hammer used to trip people. Like throw it and they trip.
Oh, physically tripping.
Yeah. Different trip hammer.
I think at this point it's open-ended, so it could be.
I'm actually going to go a little philosophical. Not that we haven't already done that here, but would you rather be the hammer or the nail? I might prefer to be the nail. The nail accomplishes its objective 100% of the time. The hammer, much lower success rate.
Yeah, the hammer, you get the visceral, like, thrill of, you know, slamming something down. But the nail is the structurally sound.
The sheer thing. Number of times that you smack a hammer and miss the nail, that's not on the nail. That is not an attempt for the nail. Anytime you hit the nail, it goes in a little bit. That's a W. It's 100%. It's batting 1,000. Yeah.
That's why you didn't play football. No one ever wanted to be the nail.
That's fair. That is fair.
I decided to come up with a quick list of what I consider to be like pop culture hammers, kind of in the vein I was talking about.
And I'll think of some pop culture trip.
First one for me is Will Ferrell, like a guy who like every time he's in a scene, you're like, okay, he's going to take over this scene. Probably the most notable version of that was his cameo in Wedding Crashers.
Absolutely.
Where it's just like, all right, every single line this guy says is hilarious, and he's literally just hammering his way through it. Another guy who does that, also named Will Arnett. You know, I'm a big Arrested Development guy, and like every time Job was on screen, I just knew that something chaotic was going to happen. And I feel like that's kind of been his whole career in general, you know? He's not subtle.
Okay, well, here's a couple of trips that I've just now decided to come up with. One that is very underrated, in my opinion, is Forrest Gump's trip across America.
Oh, yeah. Physically or just throughout the movie?
Oh, the physically. Yeah. I mean, it's both of them. You can take them both.
He literally ran across the country and back. Yeah,
that's underrated. First of all, the pure physical impressiveness of the feat.
I think the most underrated part about that movie is that he just completely said no to the NFL. Like, he could have been a first round pick.
But you got to remember that, like, the NFL back in those days was nothing. Like, guys were still, they were coming off of their Sunday game and then working 5 days in the
coal
factories.
Well, I still think that would have been preferable to going to Vietnam.
It probably
wouldn't have fit the story as well, because it was about, like, American history. But if we're just being real, Forrest could have had a career with the Packers for like 10 years if he wanted to.
That's fair. The second trip that I will go on, the National Lampoon's family vacation.
One of the most famous trips that's ever been filmed, right?
Yeah. Fantastic. Just across the idea of Wally World and Disney World and travel, or Disney, Wally World and Disneyland.
Yeah.
First of all, I never went to Disneyland. I've never been. To me, it didn't make sense. It felt like people from California were trying too hard, because why would you go to a land when you can go to a world which has plenty of lands inside of it? Like, Disneyland was just like kind of tiny.
You were really hung up on the word.
I totally was, 100%. Also, like, Orlando is Disney. Isn't Disneyland in LA?
Yeah, it is.
Like, Disneyland is something that LA tolerates.
I still haven't been to Disneyland, but I did go to Disney World a couple of times when we were very young. But it kind of sucks for the parents, because if your kids are too young, they don't remember it, and then you're just like kind of stressed the whole time.
Yeah.
So you have to like time it out where it's like, this better be a fucking core memory. Otherwise, this is not going to be worth the trip. I guess we've already kind of talked about The Trip, which is less of a movie and more of a collection of impressions.
An anthology. The Trip is the British, like, the closest the British will ever get to I Think You Should Leave.
Just a bunch of silly nonsense.
Yeah, but they can't do it in tiny breaks. Like, they can't help themselves. They still are like, no, it's got to have a plot. Right. We can't just, what, you just want to put 3-minute shorts out there? What, are you crazy? You're mad.
Your British accent's getting good. I like that.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that was a good literally trip down memory lane watching those clips.
I do like this a little better out of the glass. It is growing on me. Yeah. It could be just because it's hammering its way into my heart.
And I'll tell you what, Vince, you are good at keeping us in check when it comes to being overly in one gender or not. So I want to bring up one more hammer, who's a woman, Anna Faris.
Huh.
I'm thinking, think about this. You know, she was kind of the anchor of the Scary Movies.
Yeah.
Which was like a very big, like, broad slapstick comedy thing. And she's been in like a lot of stuff where, like, I think that she's always one of the funniest people in the things that she's been in. She's been a little bit sidelined because of the whole Chris Pratt thing. But before that, like, she was like a well-known comic force.
She's been, can you imagine, like, Chris Pratt just becomes the most anti-feminist individual on the planet because everyone he dates falls off? I see what you're saying, but I don't necessarily agree in the, like, taking over a scene portion. She's big for sure, and like, can she do it? Yes, but I don't think she necessarily does it. She actually, in my opinion, does something far more impressive in that, like, everyone's elevated. Like, Will Ferrell takes it over. He makes the scene. Everyone else is there for the ride, right? So she's less of like a hammer and more of like, I don't know, like a table razor or something, whatever. But it does have me thinking of like absolute scene stealers on it. And I, for some reason, can't stop thinking about Lisa Kudrow.
Oh, that's a good one.
Like, she showed up and, like, forget it. No one else mattered. Even in Friends, when she was in the scene, it was like nobody else mattered.
I don't think it's even, like, a contest that she was the funniest female character of those three.
She got the kind of development that Joey probably deserved.
Before they decided he needed a spinoff show?
There's a reason. Like, she spun off, like, that's why they did the whole Ursula thing. Did you know that? I think
no.
It's in, it might be in Just Shoot Me. She's in Just Shoot Me as Ursula. Or not Ursula.
Her twin.
Yeah, her twin. It's Ursula,
yeah.
Right? But
yeah.
She's, to me, a great hammer. I'll tell you what. Let's give a hearty welcome to the stage for Hillary Rodham Clinton. Hill Dog, that's a hammer. tell me she's not.
She's definitely a hammer.
She's a hammer. Palin's a nail. She's a hammer.
I would say Judge Judy might be the biggest hammer of all.
Oh my God. Literally and metaphorically.
Literally banging on the table. Judge Judy.
Only Judge Judy would have the confidence to title an autobiography, "Don't Pee on My Leg and Tell Me It's Raining." Look it up. It's a real thing.
God bless her. She's great. Let's give this a score. So I'll be honest. Like, I think this is fine. I'm not as far gone as you are. I'm going to give this a 3 out of 5 Toms. I love that I learned a little bit about the history of Vienna lagers, and we obviously are big fans of Alarmist. I think that I've just enjoyed their other stuff more.
You know, the song says Vienna waits for me and I'm not coming. 2.5 out of 5 Vinces. The style's just not for me. It's not what I want. I'm going to drink this. I did like it a little better the farther in I got, and I do like it a little better out of the glass. Like, I can tell this is not an Alarmist problem. This is a me and Vienna Lager problem.
Yeah, sometimes things are just not for you, and that's okay.
That's true, but...
But listen, I just want to make it very clear that we're still having a blast doing this show. I think we've learned a lot. Hopefully, we're getting better. I like to think that we are, but... Ultimately, the audience is the judge of that, right?
Yeah. The audience opinion, not the audience size.
We don't need to ask about that, but we love all of our listeners of all shapes and sizes, and we hope that you guys stick around to check out more of our stuff. Give us a follow on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe, rate, and review. Follow us on social media. Do all that stuff. Vince, happy birthday to us.
Yeah, happy birthday to us.
And until next time, I'm Tom.
I'm Vince.
This has been Friday Night Beers, where we have clear eyes, full cans,
must booze,
hammered down,
nailed down.